Well, here is something that to me is tremendous. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now they couldn't believe that, because it was a magnificent building, one of the greatest buildings probably that the world's ever seen. And yet in 70 AD, Titus, that's the Roman general, he came into Jerusalem and he brought it down so that one stone did not stand upon another. In fact, every single house in Jerusalem was destroyed. How true the words of the Lord Jesus were. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now there's another reference to that, and I'm sure you'll be very interested when I read it. It just shows how he's going to come. In Matthew 24 we have signs that relate to his coming, and in 1 Thessalonians 4 he tells us how he's going to come. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, meaning those who have died, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that means go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, that's going to be a wonderful time when the Lord comes. You know, someone said to me, well, why do you believe that the Lord Jesus is going to come again in such a supernatural way? I said, because he kept all his first prophecies and fulfilled them. He said, what do you mean by that? Well, I said, the birth of Jesus was predicted. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The life of Jesus was predicted, Isaiah 40 and 41. The death of Jesus was predicted over and over again, and he died according to all the predictions of the Old Testament. He was wounded for our transgressions, said the prophet Isaiah. He was bruised for our iniquity. His resurrection was predicted. Psalm 116, Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. His ascension was predicted. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Again, in that same psalm we read that the Lord would ascend up on high, leading captivity captive. So all those predictions were fulfilled when the Lord Jesus came and died. Now I said, isn't it logical and simple that the one who fulfilled all the predictions concerning his first coming will fulfill all the predictions concerning his second coming? And our date system is not based upon the Caesars or Alexander the Great. It's based upon the Lord Jesus. And every time you write the date, whether you believe in him or not, you have to put 1989. And that means 1989 after Christ. So you can see the Lord's put him right in the center of history. And he's going to be right at the conclusion of history. Now, when will Jesus come? We don't know. The word makes it quite clear, the day and the hour knows no man. But he gave us signs. He says that there would be moral signs. He says, iniquity will abound. The love of many shall wax cold. And that word abound is taken from a very dramatic word. And it means a river filling up its banks and then flooding. If you can imagine the Queensland flood a few years ago, then you've got the meaning of the word. Not just iniquity moving like a river, but flooding, getting out of control. Now, when you look at the world today and see all the broken marriages all over the world, when you see all the common law marriages, when you see scores of boys and girls with one parent, some no parents, you say, my word, what's happening? Well, he predicted it. He said, iniquity shall abound. And when you see those things, you don't want to panic if you're a Christian. You want to say, ah, it's a sign that the Lord's going to come. Then he gave us religious signs. He said there would be false teaching, false doctrine, even false conversion. The devil will imitate everything. And look at the falsity today. Look at the people that are going around the world saying they're Christ. Look at the people that come round our doors and tell us they're the only people that have got the truth. All these new religions that have come in all in the last 50 years. Now just imagine people telling us, well, they're the people that's got the truth. And they've only been here 50 years. So all the other people in the world for hundreds of years have been kept in darkness. Now how foolish that is. You see, the historical faith has been with us right to the very beginning. And all these cults that are coming in, although they confuse people, they're not of God. And it's all the sign of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And then he gave to us economic signs. He said there would be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. Now look at the earthquakes. We've had more earthquakes in the last 30 years than we've had probably in the whole period of world history. You see, scripture's fulfilling itself. Take, for instance, pestilences. It means sicknesses, and probably sicknesses that come through the sin of the world. Look at AIDS. What a mystery. And it may be one of many that's going to hit the world because of the sin of man. And then he said famines. Well, one third of the world is starving. One third of the world is underfed. You could rely upon your seasons in any country about 50 or 60 years ago, but you can't rely on your seasons now. You see it? And it's famines. And it's all a sign that the Lord is soon to come. And then he gave us international signs, and I think this is tremendous. He says, first of all, Israel will be surrounded by armies. Now that meant Israel had to go back in the land. For nearly 2,000 years they'd been scattered. Completely scattered. Ever since Titus came in and scattered them, a very few Jews have been living in their own country. But it's only in the last 60 years that the Jews have been going back. And it's only since 1948 that they've become a state. And now we see them in their own land and quite a powerful nation. In fact, they've got a much more powerful air force and an army than we've got even in Britain. You see? But they're surrounded by their enemies. The Arabs surround them, want to destroy them. Now he says, when you see those things take place, don't drop your head. Lift up your head, for you know the Lord is coming. And that's why we're preaching the second coming, because we know that Jesus is going to come very, very soon. Probably in our time, we shall see the return of the Lord Jesus. But then for whom will he come? Well, he's going to come for those in Christ. Now, what does it mean to be in Christ? Well, my children are in me and your children are in you. Now, it doesn't mean to say they're sticking out of you. But it means they're in you because they bear your name. They have your genes. You see your nature in them. And that's the lovely thing about children. You look and you can see parts of yourself in you. Now, my little granddaughter, Daniel, when I look at her sometimes, I can see my wife, the way she raises her finger. She does it. Now, it's quite remarkable. She lifts her little finger like her grandma. Now, my wife has never told her to do it, but she does, and she comes, "Now, granddad," and I close that little finger and I say, "Mother," you see. Now we see that in our children. People tell me that when they hear my son preaching, they see me. Well, he can't help it, poor fellow. But you see, the genes are in him. Now, it means when you are in Christ, it means you've been born of him. So that a real Christian is not someone that just goes to church. He will do, but that doesn't make you a Christian. It's not someone that's living a decent life. That's a good thing to do, and a Christian will live a nice life. But that is not a Christian. A Christian is someone who has been born of God. Just like our children have been born of us, we are born of God. And that means he puts the Holy Spirit in us. And when we become a New Testament Christian, he cleanses us from all our sin. That's why the Lord Jesus died, that our sins might be forgiven once and for all. You see, on that cross, he loved us so much that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He took the punishment that should have been ours, and through that death, our sins can all be forgiven once and for all. And then, after we have been cleansed, he puts the Holy Spirit within us so that we are born anew and we are brought right into the kingdom of God. You see, we get into the human kingdom by birth. The only way. You can't get into it any other way. You have to be born a human being. And you only get into the kingdom of God by being born anew. Now, how does a person really become a born-again Christian? By receiving Christ. And you receive him as your Saviour and as your Lord. It's just like someone knocking on the door and you see who it is and you can receive that person or reject him. And the Lord comes knocking at the door of your life. Sometimes he does it in church. Sometimes he does it in your bedroom when you're praying. Sometimes he does it in a little room. He stands knocking. And when he knocks, you can do two things. You can look through the window of your life and say, "Oh, it's Jesus. I love him, but I don't want him in my life." Now that's rejection. Or you can look through the lattice of your life and you say, it's the Lord Jesus, and he wants to come into my life. And therefore you receive him, and you ask him to save you and forgive you. You make him the Lord of your life, so that when he comes in, he takes over. And the moment you receive him, you're ready. He says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You see, the church, ladies, is not just a company of people who go to church. The church is a company of born-again believers. And when Jesus comes, there will be some Roman Catholics who were born again of the Holy Spirit. They'll be taken. There'll be some Protestants that were born again of the Holy Spirit. They will be taken. In fact, in every fundamental church, there will be those who are religious, but not born again. They'll not be taken. But there'll be those in these denominations who have been born of God, and they'll be taken. Now, I know this sounds arrogant, but it's true. Immediately you meet a Christian, irrespective of his denomination, you can tell whether he's religious or born again. One's just got religion. The other's got the life of Jesus in. And the moment there's that life of the Lord Jesus and they're born again, you have intimate fellowship with them. So he's going to come for those in Christ. And we want everyone to be in him. You know, it saddens me that lots of people have a knowledge of the Bible, knowledge of religion, but they've never been born of God. Get the right thing. Don't have an artificial faith. Get the right thing so that you're in Christ and you're a new creature. So that when he comes, you'll be taken. Now, how will he come? Now, this is really exciting and beautiful for those who are ready. The scripture says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now that simply means he's going to come in great victory and he's going to come with great glory. Now when he came the first time, he came in humiliation. He came to die. He came to deal with the sin of the world. Therefore he was known as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But when he comes the second time, he's not going to come like that. He's not going to come despised and rejected of men. He's not going to come with a crown of thorns upon his head. He's not going to come despised and rejected. He's going to come in great glory. Ladies, gentlemen, when he comes, it's going to be tremendous. Notice what he says. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a mighty shout. And that's going to be a resurrection shout. And then after that, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now what does that mean? When a Christian, a born again Christian, dies, his soul and spirit goes immediately to be with the Lord, and for him it's far better. In fact, it's a million times. If you could have 5 seconds in heaven, that's all, you would never want to come back to your body or to this earth. Heaven is a place of absolute perfection. In fact, those there now are called the spirits of just men, made perfect. Now, isn't that beautiful? Made perfect. But they're all born-again Christians. There are those who have had the Spirit of God placed in them, and they're born of God. Now, when the Lord Jesus comes, he's going to come for their body. Why? Because man is incomplete without a body. When you're just soul and spirit, you're with the Lord, you're conscious of the Lord, you're in a state of perfection, but you're not complete. So in that day, God is going to take their original atoms, the dust of their body. You see, the atom of the body will never die. Matter dies, but it's all evaporated into energy. And he will take the original atoms, and only God knows that, and he will make a completely new body, and it's called the body of glory. You see, if you took this body and plunged it into heaven, it would disintegrate. You can't even put it on the moon, can you? The only place this body can live is on the earth, because God made it for the body. But you haven't yet got a body for the glory. That means heaven. But in that day, he will give you a new type of body, if you're a born-again Christian, called the body of glory. So those who are already in heaven, he will wrap round their souls and spirits a new body called the body of glory, so that then you can live forever. And this is what I believe. In that day, we shall be able to explore all the universe, because we will have a body like Christ. And when he was raised from the dead, he went through gravity without the power of rocketry. And we shall have a body like that because we were born again. Now, can you see the wonder of becoming a Christian? It's not only for this little earth. Soon he's going to fold it all up because it's wearing out. We are people for eternity. Eternity. And we're going to have a body of glory. And then we which are alive, so if the Lord came today, all the born again Christians would be raptured. That means they would be caught away supernaturally. Just like the Lord Jesus was caught away. Do you remember when he was with his disciples there at Bethany? They saw him go up and the cloud received him out of sight. And the angel said to those disciples that were gazing up, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you have seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." Now, that's how we're going up. We're going up, raptured. And we're all going to meet together in the air. And we shall surround the Lord Jesus, and then he will take us into heaven. Now that will give the world the greatest shock ever. Those who are left behind, and I don't think this is just exaggerated imagination, will switch their tellies on, and right across your television, with a ghostly white announcer, you will hear this: millions supernaturally missing. Millions supernaturally missing. And the whole world will be in a state of panic. The Lord has come and taken his people. Then, because of the wickedness of the world, he will start his judgment. You see, after the church is taken, there will come a man in this world, the most brilliant man that ever lived, apart from the Lord Jesus. And he will be called the man of sin, or the beast. The last great world ruler. And he will be a brilliant economist. And he will be worshipped more than people worship God. And an image will be made in that day of him that will live. And you can see that that's not far-fetched now. And the whole world will worship him. And he will be the last world leader. And in that day you will not be able to buy until you have the computerized number 666, and that's the only way in which you can buy. And already we see this in America, because the bank cards have been stolen. In America they are putting invisible numbers on your hand, and you just pass it through a thing, and that little, your hand tells you whether you've got money in the bank or not, and that's how you pay your card. You see, the Bible is coming alive. But he will deceive the nations, and then eventually he will make an affiliation with Israel, saying, whoever touches Israel will touch me. And then in the temple that will be built there, he will go into the holiest of all and desecrate it. And that will trigger off the great period called the time of Jacob's trouble, or the abomination of the desolation, when there will be 3.5 years of judgment. And ladies, you must never, never experience that. Because that judgment will be so severe that 1/3 of the world's geography, 1/3 or 1/4 of the world's population, a good part of our solar system will be totally destroyed. And then after that period of judgment, the king will be coming, and there will be signs of his coming in the heaven, and he will come and reign over this earth. Now, that's why we all need to be ready. And that's why we are saying to people in Australia, as we're saying to people all over the world, get in Christ. Don't be an imitated Christian. Don't just have external. Be ready. Get in Christ. And isn't it lovely? The Lord speaking to the nations for the last time. And we are telling people this, not that we don't love Australia, we love the country. But I doubt whether I shall be here again. The Lord is coming. We're living in the last seconds of this age. And as we see the darkness growing, all of us should ask the question, are we in Christ? Have I really got the Lord Jesus in me? Now, ladies, could I say this in close? Don't harden your heart. Open that heart and say, Lord, if I've never been born again, I want to be born again today. And as one lady did, she went away from a meeting like this. She went into her bedroom. She closed the door. And she got down by her bed. And she says, Lord, I don't know if I've ever been born again. I don't think I have. I know I'm a poor sinner. I believe Jesus died for my sin. Would you please cleanse me and forgive me? And Lord, come into my life and be my Savior and Lord. And she opened her Bible and she read this verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. She said, thank you, Lord, you know I received you to the best of my ability. Therefore, Lord, I believe you've come in. And she opened the bedroom door and she went to the main door and she just looked up and she said, thank you, Lord Jesus. You've made me ready. You've made me ready. And she's ready for the coming of the Lord. May every one of us get ready for his coming.